don't panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
Oh boy. Hey, Mr. Engineer, you can lower that next time when you play it, not so loud. Maybe my headphone is picking it up, but I think it's a little loud. Maybe in the beginning, you know, lower it down, okay? Don, Ron, wherever you are. Anyway, thank you for... this is Andy Lopez, better known as the Invisible Gardener, and here we go again. Today I have a guest, and she's here already. Are you there? Hello? Tracy? Is it Tracy?
I'm here.
Yeah, right. Did you decide to go do something and figure to come back later? I know.
No, I was just muting it so that I could hear the show.
Okay. All right. Normally, I would do stuff like this. I mean, hang on. See? This is so... All right, music.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
So I'm just... You're the first human to hear it. I have about 5 or 6 songs I write at the same time. I used to do one song at a time, and then I got bored. My mind works that way, and then I end up doing several songs. And I find if I do a bunch of different songs at the same time, they all have certain... what I do is I call these inner gardening. And basically, I started writing music for my show. And then I said, well, because I'm different, my music is going to be different. It basically has to do with frequencies. And I started doing frequencies for the garden. Because it's also good for people and plants and birds, it's really interesting. This particular one is called Hope 386 Frequency, which vibrates with certain parts of your body will hear it. I believe the body is like one big organism, just like the skin is an organ of light. And anyway, so I do the music, and I try to like next week's show, for example, for you guys listening out there, it's all going to be music, because this show is not going to be just about gardening. Just like today, you know, Tracy, you know, I do a series called The Body and the Garden.
Yes.
Did you hear any other shows?
Yes, I was going through the index and looking at some different things.
Too cool. Did you hear the show with Chuck on it? We talked about Roundup, and we talked about the stomach and the relationship to the soil. Did you hear all that?
We're going to need you to pick up the volume.
Not all of it.
Who, me?
No, your guest.
Pick up the volume.
Right.
Does that mean I have to be louder, or she has to be louder?
It'd be helpful. We could barely hear her.
Oh, really?
I hear you okay.
Can I just talk closer to the phone?
Okay, that's good, right? No?
That's good.
Okay. So did you hear, what did you think of that show? There's only 2 shows we did. And so what I want to do is, this is the third in the series of The Body in the Garden. And, you know, you don't know me, but I've always, as the Invisible Gardener, I was always one of the persons that's really tied into the earth kind of thing, you know? And that's how I got into gardening, and the whole 10 yards about eating organically and healthy. And it's always been a thing with me that the soil, I don't know if you heard the one show where I was basically saying that I lived when I, as a kid, I used to go to, by the way, this is Tracy Carmack, right, from Microbiome Labs, right?
Yes, Microbiome Labs.
I said biome or biome? I was going to ask
By
you
me,
that.
But that's okay. That's okay.
Okay. So I started talking when I used to go. I used to be live in New York City and got shipped out to either Cuba or Puerto Rico. And in Puerto Rico, my great grandparents had a farm. Well, they had a farm in both places, but the Puerto Rico one is the one I remember. They had massive piles of compost and a big garden and stuff. And then one of the things that stuck out in my brain was I used to pick from the garden, like I remember picking some carrots, and I was like cleaning it off, you know, taking all the soil and other stuff off before I would buy it. And my grandmother, she would say in Spanish, ¿Por qué estás haciendo eso? Why are you doing that? I said, well, I gotta get all this stuff off before I can eat it. And she says, no, she stuck it back in there again. Then I said, eat it. You want to eat it with the soil and everything because that's good for your stomach. And I said, yeah, I'm not gonna eat no manure. You give me piles of manure, you crazy. But that's pretty much the basis of it, because when I started doing gardening, I said, gee, look at the relationship between the soil. Soil, I always consider the soil as the top skin of the earth, see, right? And with human beings and how we work, because I talk a lot about the mycelium and how mycelium is around millions of years before us, and everything evolved from the mycelium. We evolved, we're evolutionary, we evolved from mycelium beings. And I talk about mycelium, you know how mycelium works in the soil and all that stuff. But the relationship in our stomach is so, people are just, well, they're all, I think just recently, right, within the past 10 years, this has come up to the surface about the human gut. Right? So it's just something fairly recently new. And I just looked at something the other day. Oh, there's a video said that your second brain, that's the title of it, your second brain, because how the gut affects you. And, you know, it's totally true for not just for people, but for the soil. It's like mirror image. You know, what happens in your body in terms of if you don't deal with your soil, so to speak, it happens with the plants if they don't deal with the soil. So why don't you, I have a series of questions that I asked you to send me because I want to make sure we cover this. And, you know, the thing is that's interesting too is that they both have the same solution in a certain extent, you know, in terms of how, because, you know, so much is going on now around with the trees, with this bark beetle attacking this and this disease and stuff. And look what's going on with people. They're really, it's just like a mirror image. And the two are related so closely that if we understand one, we can understand the other. It's your turn now.
Right. Right. And what you were talking about with your grandmother, Andy, is what she was explaining without using technical terms, but there are microorganisms in the soil. Those are bacillus spores, and they will go through your gut, but they're not killed by your stomach acid. So, and they're not killed by pancreatic enzymes or by bile salts.
You're not coming in too well. You're like a little robot.
Oh, it's echoing.
Yes, I get a little distorted, echoing. I think it's too bad because I want to have this discussion, you know. And you don't have a computer, do you? Do you?
Where you at? I do, but I'm gonna go my car where I should have better reception because I'm in the mountains, and that's what this problem is that you're experiencing.
Because, you know, with a computer, you have a microphone and all that stuff, and you just really talk really easy. We're using Skype, as a matter of fact, you know, which makes it a much better connection a lot of times than these cell phones do all the time, especially since we're talking about stuff. Go ahead.
Well, you should be able to hear me now. I'm outside, and it should be pretty clear. Can you hear me all right?
You still have echoes, but it's not as bad. Go ahead. Try talking and see what happens.
Okay. I was trying to explain that your grandmother was trying to say, without using technical terms, that the soil has microorganisms such as bacillus spores, and these spores need to be in the human diet. They are not killed by the stomach acid or by the bile salts or the pancreatic enzymes, so they actually germinate in the gut so that they are truly live, and they help recondition our microbiome so that we can digest our food better, create the vitamins that we need. So this is the core of what keeps people healthy. And we are so damaged by the environment because of the connection between the biome of the earth and our microbiome that the more we assault the soil, the more our microbiome is going to be assaulted. And our health is going to decline.
Yeah, unless you have unless you live in a space suit, you know, right? Unless you live in a space suit in a spaceship, it's going to get affected.
Right, and like what your grandmother was saying, we live in a sterile environment. People are using these antimicrobial hand washes, and they're bleaching their clothes and bleaching their water and bleaching their food. Those microorganisms that are there to keep our gut going are dead. And that's why we're not our immune system, which 70% of our immune system is in the gut or in the gut. 70% of our neurotransmitters are created in the gut. So that's that gut-brain connection. If your gut's not working properly, you're going to be depressed.
Yeah. Not only depressed, but, you know, you could be happy if it's working right. It helps you in lots of different areas. I often tell people, look, you can meditate all you want to, but at least you can try. If your stomach is not happy, you're not going to get too far away in your spiritual quest, because your body will be right there going, oh, God, I can't, right? Listen, I have another interesting thing, too, in terms of Roundup. Okay, so one of the things that, you know, I as an environmental scientist, I started talking about GMO, I don't know, 20 years ago, at least, probably, I know 10 years, in the early 70s, I was already talking about the dangers of it, because at that time, they were starting to work on, you know, developing it. But one of the things that I caught on to right away, immediately, and that's like your question number two, what does glyosulfate do to the soil membrane, and also how does it work in the gut? Is that I saw the problem right away when they started developing Roundup, and they say, well, it's in the food, it's in the gene, and it's not going to bother you, but there's one problem. It's now in our gut. We now just ate that. And what it does to the soil, it's not good, so I automatically know what it does to my stomach, to my gut, is not good. And Chucky reinforced it, too. He basically said the same thing, but a little bit more from a doctor's thing as what was going on, like I know you're going to say it now. Go ahead.
Well, you know, a lot of the companies have done is they've made it so technical that the farmers and the lay people don't understand. And they... But it will help them to describe it in terms of glyphosate is like an antibiotic on the soil, and it kills the microorganisms.
Yeah.
And even though glyphosate, they tell you it's not going to hurt humans, but that's not true. It hurts
not true at all.
Microorganisms in our gut. So if we know if we don't have those microorganisms, we will not survive.
And it was very sneaky of them to say, well, you know, doesn't hurt humans. Well, it hurts the organisms that the human body relies upon. So it doesn't directly, even though I have a feeling you're going to find that it does, because it has been, the World Health Organization's carcinogenic, says it's carcinogenic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Example of how they use smoke and mirrors to confuse people.
All the time.
Glyphosate's a chelator, so it's chelating essential nutrients, you know, from the soil, from the microorganisms, such as magnesium, zinc, and copper. You know, magnesium is essential for pathways in our body to be able to detoxify toxins for our cells.
Right, magnesium in plants are very important, too. The very same minerals are important to the human body are just as important to plant and to trees and to everything that grows in the soil. It's not a hard thing to figure out.
Fertilize those things, not told to put those things back into the soil.
Yeah.
They have very standardized fertilizing treatments, you know, NKP, and that's it. You know, whereas our body has, you know, 23 essential nutrients he has got to have. How can just three of them be enough?
Right. When I went to a school, University of Florida, the very first day, the teacher said, there's no difference between organic source of nitrogen and urea. And I'm going, holy cow, here we go. And then there is an enormous difference, because the urea is just 4500. That's it. Whereas urea in nature, it's very tiny percent of urea. The rest of it is microorganisms, all kinds of other things in there that's totally, absolutely amazing. Hey?
You know, Andy, I've stood toe-to-toe with biochemists, and they will, you know, talk to me till they're blue in the face, trying to make me believe that synthetic nutrients are going to work the same way synthetic vitamins, synthetic amino acids, synthetic fats are going to work the same way in the human body as the natural ones. And I'm telling you, our bodies are so intelligent. They not only can define or determine the difference between a synthetic and a natural,
Right.
They call the difference between a spin on a molecule.
Yeah.
How specific the body is. So you can't.
Right. It's the same thing with the plants and the organisms living in the soil and the trees and the flowers. They're not stupid. They've been around longer than we have, as a matter of fact. The insects and all these diseases and pests. By the way, did you get my new book yet? Didn't I email it to you?
No, I'm sorry. I haven't received it.
Gee whiz, I could have sworn. We talked about sending it to you. The new book is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I have to send you the PDF version of it because it's going to get print. Excuse me, it's going to get. I didn't mean to interrupt. It's going to get. It's, you know the way I work. It's like I'm a genius. It just comes out. You know, whatever the brain just spits it out. Anyway, okay. Because I wanted to send it to you because I talk a lot about that in the book. How the best way, because just the other day a person asked me, what's your tips, right, for having a healthy garden, healthy plants, and every healthy tree? And I'm thinking, I'm going, well, it's not really very hard. It's just one thing you got to do, just one thing. That's the soil. That's the topsoil. That's the one thing you got to concentrate on. Make sure that's the way Mother Nature intended it to be. You won't have any problems. I think it's the same thing with our body, right? In our guts.
Right, and I counsel physicians, and I tell them the same thing. If you're going to affect the majority of your patients positively, you work with their microbiome. You get them right. That's like saying you get the soil right to grow the plants, just like you get the gut right to improve the immune system and the hormones. And the whole metabolism, you got to start with the gut.
The whole thing is, the general public, a few years ago, the Republicans did a study and they found out that basically people are like 76% are stupid and the rest of the 24% is not enough for them to make a difference. But it's roughly true in the sense that they're not stupid. They have just been listening to all these false information, you know, over and over and over again. I get these reports all the time. There's no, like for example, Stanford, you know, Stanford University, they're well-known university, right? Mm-hmm. They came out with a study. There's no difference between conventionally grown produce food and organically grown. It's like, they said there was no difference. They did a study of the 440 studies they were done. So they basically studied the studies, and you read the reports. Everybody studies the studies. We studied this study. There's only a few of them that actually did things, and those that didn't, well, they didn't know what they were doing because they did it all wrong. So they came. But the thing is that there's a concerted effort by the powers that be, right? The money to make the information go this way. They keep saying you're going to starve if you try to do it organically, and so forth. But it's amazing. The medical profession, you know, that whole field and the agriculture field are both being handled identically. They figure, well, if it works here, it works over there, right? Let's mislead the public down the wrong path. But it'll make plenty of money for us, and that's what we want to do. We don't want to solve this problem. We want to actually, you know, and that's what's going on, too, in the agricultural world and in the body world. We're being told over and over again, it's okay to eat, you know, this chemicals are safe, right? They're not going to hurt you. And they don't want us to key into the real reality of it. Well, gee, maybe if you stop going to these fast food places, which is basically nothing in there, you're going to eat into your body, and then you won't get sick so much that you don't have to go spend so much money to the doctor. And the doctor very rarely, I mean, my doctor has yet to say, gee, what are you eating, right? Or any of that stuff. Well, he doesn't really like me because he says, what are you doing here?
Go ahead. Americans are very trusting. A lot of people in other countries aren't so trusting. When they see studies, you know, you look at follow the money, who's funding the studies,
what
parameters are they testing? And it's the same with big ag or big foodie or big pharma.
Or sugar.
The people that are doing the studies are the ones with the money, and they're the ones who are leading you down this road to believe a certain thing.
Right. right? And they do it over and over again, very convincingly. Then I get attacked constantly. I stopped going up to Huffington Post because if I say anything, I get attacked by 20 people. But all you got to do is Google them. You'll see that they're being paid by the same people that, like Monsanto. They actually pay people to go online and just, you say something, they say, no, this is not true. This is it. They're over here. But if you actually did any research and look into it, you'll see, gee, that's not even anywhere near close. That's what's going on with the genetically modified organism setup, you know, because there is, you know, did you look through my blog by any chance? No.
Just a little bit, Andy.
I know, because, you know, there's one of the articles I wrote that says not all GMOs are bad, because the whole thing is, they had they went to court, I forget what state it was, and it was thrown out because the lawyers said, we've been doing GMOs for centuries. We have all this stuff, all this fruit, we've been growing everything. You know, if you grow tomatoes, you grow the best tomatoes, that's GMO. So they threw it out. The reality is that GMO is broken down into several different fields, and genetically engineered organisms are the ones that are the field that should be illegal, because that's the one we need to worry about, not to mention the fact that there's another way which basically exposes genes to radiation, and the mutated gene is what one of the the modified organism. But the third way is the way we've been practicing a good farmer. I mean, do you garden?
Yes, I do.
And I bet you do.
You were pointing out the difference between hybridizing and genetically modifying. And it's two separate things. One's technological, one is good horticulture.
Right, exactly right. I always grow the best tomatoes. People say, that tomato was really good. Yeah, I grew it again, and I grew it again, and get better and better. And if you look around you, that's really genetically modified organism. That's under the classifier of it. It fits out. Human beings are we all genetically modified. The petunia, the lettuce, all these things. But that's a different level entirely, the genetically engineered. Then putting a Roundup, you know, now what they're doing, not only Roundup, but you're going to get 2,4-D, because Roundup said they went to this other company and they said, look, we're getting away with it. Let us put 2,4-D in the product, in the seeds, in the plants. And it's going to be more and more of that, because they're saying it's totally safe. It's in the gene. How could it possibly hurt you?
But the answer's in the name. Glyphosate is referring to, look at the GLY. That's the clue.
Yeah.
It is messing with the glycine cycle. The next generation of glyphosate, or the next generation of the Roundup, is going to mess with the glutamate cycle, and that's going to be even worse. So,
Explain that, those things to me, because remember, I am no doctor. I don't know what you're talking about. I understand a little bit, but what does that mean in, normal terms?
Well, glycine is an amino acid. So then they genetically modify the plants that are not affected by the Roundup. Then that's what they're changing. That's what they're modifying.
The amino acid.
Amino acid.
So is that amino acid that we get in our body? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. We need, our body takes proteins, breaks them down into peptides, and then into amino acids, and then our body takes those amino acids and then builds new proteins for our muscles. And
so, are you saying that this Roundup will affect our amino acid in our bodies?
No, that's how it's killing the weeds,
right?
And then it spares the crops that have been genetically modified.
I know that. I'm saying, what does it do in our body? If we get Roundup, which we're eating, will that eventually affect our amino acids as well, our ability to produce amino acids, you think? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Well, once those genetically modified plants are in our system,
it's
Frankenstein glycine molecule, and the body has to try to rebuild something, but it's not a normal amino acid. So yes, it's messing with our body's ability to break things down and to rebuild them into tissue that make our body up.
And let me ask you one more question really fast, because I would write the notes down, but I forget to mention it. But so right now, so does this mean that, just say, part of the reason why they're getting away with it is because people don't die immediately from it. They always die down the road, some other disease or some other problems that happens because of this thing, is a chain reaction. My feelings also, too, is that How does that affect our children that we're having and their children? Doesn't it get passed on?
There's a lot of looking at that there was some genetically modified attributes in alfalfa that was causing infertility. So the fact that the kids are not being born at all is one factor, because it's a form of population control, you know, stop the birth rate. But then you go on beyond that, and those people that have, you know, now our tissue is different. Those, you know, cells that make up the eggs of a woman and the sperm of a man, you know, now we're looking to what is going to be changed in our very, you know, genetic code that's going to be passed on to future generations.
Right, exactly,
and what diseases are we going to have to deal with, and how are the changes in their microbiome that we're going to have to deal with. So, yes, we're creating all of these future problems that, you know, that we have no idea how to handle.
I was reading about these clone cows. But the main problem with that is that they have a much different type of chromosome setup, shortened. And and if we eat that it was not only going to affect us, but our children and their children and their children and their children. It keeps on going, because it's one of those things that takes, it's almost impossible to repair unless the scientists have come up with a way to repair it, right?
Right. Right. I mean, you look at superbugs.
Yeah.
You know, if we're, you know, modifying our microbiomes, which are organisms, and now they're not able to fight off staph and C. diff and all of these, you know, organisms, which are now, you know, superbugs, we're in trouble, because, you know, we're back to the days of the plagues.
Right. Right. Exactly right. One of the things that's interesting is that both systems, the human body and the Earth's body, have system of protections, warning signs that tell you, stop doing that, other than pain. Yeah, because I know I get pain. Excuse me. I'm pretty sure that plants get pain and soil gets pain in the same sense. The stomach, I always thought, was supposed to be a filtration system, the wall, like a firewall, stop creatures from entering our body.
Yes, our first line of defense is actually our stomach acid.
Yeah.
That is designed to kill bacteria. And that's why people are being, you know, really hoodwinked about probiotics. If their probiotic is not in a protective form like a spore, it's dying in the stomach.
Right.
So they're eating dead organisms. Yes, there's some effect. Because even DNA of dead organisms has a signaling effect in our microbiome, but it's one strain, one condition. So if DNA has an effect in our microbiome, then what does genetically modified DNA do?
Yeah, tell me about it. Exactly. And they don't want to even touch it, because, you know, they have done studies. They never really studied this. What they did was, you know, the studies are always short term. They gave, like in Japan, they gave children genetically modified rice, and they had to stop it within a year because the kids were showing signs. But what if you ate genetically modified food for 10 years or even most of your life? And what if the effect, I think, is a cumulative, and it does. I believe that your chromosome makeup will be changed enough to where you pass that on to your kids, and then those kids will be changed even more, because they will be doing the very same thing, like this whole modified sugar now that what people are eating now, the GMO sugar, it's in 98% of our food. That's not natural, normal sugar.
Right, and I think we are seeing an effect. Look at the rates of autism. You know, and we're picking this up. You know, genetic tests are available now. 23andMe has really opened up that door. People are checking their genetic SNPs, or their single nucleotide polymorphisms, and finding out that they have all of these problems in their metabolism in these pathways. So why is that happening? You know, and those are directly linked to rates of autism. Look at all the digestive problems with IBS and Crohn's and then all the overgrowth problems with SIBO and C. diff.
Look at the flu and the flu shots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's another story right there, but it's the same thing. You can't tell me that if you take a flu shot, it's not going to affect your your biomean organisms.
Exactly. You know? And all I have to say is, you know, watch the documentary Vaxxed. The proof is there. The information is there. We know enough to say this is a big con, and you've got to check out the facts. My heart always goes out to, you know, young parents. They are faced with that question, you know, with their infants. Do I vaccinate? Do I not vaccinate? Tell them to look at Vaxxed and make an informed decision.
I myself, I'm lucky in the sense that I've never been taking any flu shots, never been vaccinated in the service. As a kid, my mother always said, no, it's against our religion. I was just five of us. And as the oldest one, they said no. They finally gave in with the rest of them. So I'm the only one that didn't get any shots. All my brothers got measles, mumps, the usual stuff. And my mom says, go to bed with them. It's better you get it young than your older one. I never got anything. Mm-hmm. And in the service, I refuse to take the shots. It's just because I see such the relationship, what's going on with the planet, with what we're doing. That's how I got the name Invisible Gardener a long time ago, basically, because I've always been involved with the Earth. How can you not be? But to me, the diseases and pests are like, wow, because I talk a lot about the higher the stress, the greater the higher the stress, the greater the pest. Well, that's the same thing with people. It applies to both. I say pests and diseases. See, the stress is the key to it. And what many things can cause stress. If your stomach is not working properly, your brain is not going to work properly. And yeah, you're going to be really stressed out. Mm-hmm. And you give out this single, and this single attracts everything around you that will come. That's your job, is to get rid of stress, right? Right? Like diseases.
Yes, exactly.
Diseases,
you talked about the barrier too in our stomach, because the stomach pH, then you're in the intestinal tract, and that's your next line of defense, is to make sure you don't have leaky gut. You know, people are now getting used to that phrase, but that means that there is a barrier of protection in our gut, and when you breach that, you have now opened yourself up to all sorts of inflammation and different organisms getting into your system. And all sorts of havoc. So, you know, there are ways to improve that microbiome, you know, the right organisms, those bacillus spores, the right food, keeping stress at a minimum, taking in the right amino acids to heal that barrier. So that's the first thing you want to look at, is stop the leaking from the gut. Because if you have leaky gut, you have leaky brain.
So I'll tell you something that happened to me a few years ago. I got a sinus infection. So I went to the doctor who wanted to give me antibiotics, and I have another doctor who basically said, well, we need to look. He specializes in immune system, and basically by examining your blood, he can tell you what your body's become basically allergic to, you know, to the different types of food and stuff like that. So he said, I have a leaky gut, and that I should basically just stop what I'm doing, because one of those things I'm doing is causing the problem. And then there are ways to systematically go through it. So eventually you'll figure out what the food is you're not supposed to be eating, especially if your blood says that it doesn't like us, or body knows, you know. So, but what happened was, is that I started... This whole thing about natural, organic, again, it's confusion, okay? It used to be if something was natural, you would say, okay, it's natural. That should be okay, right? Shouldn't have pesticides, nothing in it. Oh, no. Now the word natural doesn't mean the same thing, because natural, you can eat something natural, and yeah, they have that GMO sugar in it, okay? It's not the natural sugar. It's got this high super fructose, if I'm going to eat a dye, sugar in it. And the word natural is not the same thing as certified organic. So I started eating these... coconut ice cream that were natural, and sure enough, it raised my, because it said you're allergic, you have your blood system is allergic to yeast. Yeah, the super duper high fructose sugar is exactly blew my yeast, however it gets manufactured in my body, through this roof, you know. And I just stopped doing any of that stuff that says natural. I don't even do dairy, right? I don't do dairy. I don't do any of the gluten stuff. Very basically as clean as possible, even though it's getting harder and harder, and it all went away. But I think that my stomach was definitely being attacked. You know, one of the ways I can tell is my skin tells me. I know there's a connection between my skin and my stomach, because my skin starts itching and going, oh, something's going on in my stomach, right? That's another layer there, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, and that's part of what we're seeing, that our immune systems are in trouble, is that people are becoming hypersensitive to their food, that their immune system is out of whack.
Yeah.
And if you don't stop that leaky gut, and part of the ways you can do that is feeding the microbiome what they like to eat, root vegetables, complex starches, and staying away from simple sugars and artificial food is a good start.
Nothing like a glass of compost. Like some good compost tea, is really nice. Just perk up my tummy, I feel the same thing with the soil, that's what I do a lot in terms of healing trees and stuff. Hey, well, look, your soil is having a problem. Your skin has been, the soil skin has been broken. It's damaged. The soil is damaged. Nothing's living there. And we need to bring it back. And that's why I do micro colonies, little colonies to try to bring everything back. So we feed our bodies, the right thing to encourage it to, refluoride itself and to do its thing. I do the same thing with the soil by adding things to the soil. Compost, that's what... I was going to ask you what the equivalent of compost is to humans, because if compost properly made, that's exactly what it does. And I would eat it myself if I could. But I'm sure there are many things that we can do that basically are quote compost for humans.
Right, and that would be what we call a selective prebiotic. It's feeding the organisms what they like to eat that benefits the good bacteria, and it helps helps go after or eliminate the bad bacteria. It's about a ratio, because you've got both in your gut, and that's by design. But the key is to have more of the good guys than the bad guys.
And the soil, I say the same thing. I say, look, all diseases start in the soil. They're there already. When the conditions are right, bingo, you got the disease. You got the good guys and the bad guys. Which would you rather have in the soil?
Right.
And you can't get rid of it. You can't sterilize it. So I said, okay, only the good guys will live here. It doesn't work that way. There's a reason why there's a balance going on. There's a reason why these things, there's a light and a dark. You can't have light and no darkness, and evil without good, and so forth. There's a reason why all these things happen, and we can't just change it. By the way, so we got plenty of time. We got another 10, 20 minutes. So if you don't mind, we can keep going, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let me please tell people again who you are, who you're with, and without getting too involved, what kind of services, what is it you do? I don't know what you do. I don't know.
Well, the company I work for is Microbiome Labs, and this, if you go to the website, you'll see that there is a practitioner or physician locator, and these are practitioners that exist throughout the United States that believe in functional medicine, holistic treatment. So they're going to use products like Megaspore or Megaquinone, which are going to help that microbiome. And they're starting at the foundation of health. So if a person is, going on that locator and find someone, they will find those products.
Wait a second. Okay, so two things got me, my little brain clicking. Okay, so one of them is that you're talking about these practitioners, right? The other people like you, sort of, right?
Yes, I'm a practitioner's practitioner. So I consult
the practitioners.
Practitioners, yes, that help people do medicine naturally.
Great. Listen, why don't we have a special show? We can have as many of these practitioners on, and we can all talk.
That would be great. That'd be great.
That'd
They're
be
all
cool.
over the United States, and
sure, they can all call in. They can give examples, and all we have to do is relate it. How it relates to the soil, because that's my goal. See, so my goal is to tell people these two are related. The better you get at this, the better you're gonna get. There's no way you're gonna be healthy if your soil is toxic, right?
Right, right.
The other thing is that. You have some products, right? So are these basically the compost that I was talking about for the body? And
yes,
you can use that if you want to. You can use that if you want to compost for the body. I just thought of that. You can pay me a lot of money. Me a lot of money for it.
Right. So that's going to fix the soil of your body, where, you know, the core of your health is in your microbiome. So that's what organisms are in there. That's how you're feeding the organisms, so, what diet you're using.
I wish I had known that you were going to do this, because I would have brought out the probiotics that I'm taking at the moment. Because like I told you, you know, I've since gone through this yeast and yeast thing and trying to eat the right thing. And yeah, I even bought something that said this is the organism that comes from the soil. But somebody has said that's no good. So I have some I'm taking now. It's supposed to be good. When I take it, I don't feel like it's really working. But at the same time, I feel great. But I have a feeling it's something else that's going on, you know, other than, because that's the problem, one of the problems I'm having, because I'm really, really good at the soil and stuff like that. And if you leave me alone, I tend to gravitate to healthy food. I don't go drive in. I don't eat out. You know, I don't do the dairy. You just leave me alone and I end up fluctuating to the right healthy food. But it's so amazingly hard to do that. Yes. On top of that, we're getting so much toxins in the air, and you have to wear a mask now to breathe, and it's like my stomach is going, could you help me out a little bit? Could you just give me some compost tea, please, please, please? Because my stomach is not entirely, it's fighting all the time. I can't hardly breathe. It's like, so I'm looking for a good something that I can take that will help my little organisms in my stomach to relax and do their thing, because they're under attack. I think almost everybody in the world, their stomach is under attack. It's a major problem with the human race. And we're going to have to get that together, because look at the earth as it is with the earth. It is with the, and it's also unfortunate, because human beings tend to take everything down with them too. So human beings go down, we're going to bring down the trees and the birds and plants and everything down with us.
Yeah. Right. And education is the key, because it's confusing out there. There's a lot of probiotics. There's a lot of people saying theirs are the best. So, you know, that's what I do. I teach the practitioners to teach their patients, here's how to show what's a good probiotic, what's not a good probiotic, and how to measure them. So the key there is, again, if it's not protected, it's going to die in the stomach. So what's a protected probiotic? That's in a spore form. But what's a good spore? You know, there's technologies that keep the spore in the spore form so that it will get through all of the barriers, get down to the stomach, and then be able to germinate and colonize.
The probiotic I'm taking say the same thing, that it has it survives. That's one of the things I found interesting. I don't know the name of it offhand, because I have it somewhere else in the kitchen. I could run over there and get it, but I don't think we could do that down the road. Maybe if you want, we can set up another show where we can have a bunch of, I think the engineer said I can have 10 people on at the same time, and we can somehow control it. It would be really cool to get different practitioners in to talk about not just the product, but the main idea is to help people understand what the problem is, right? I want to teach people the law of cause and effect. The effect is the diseases and everything that's happening to us. Bad eyesight, brain function, you name everything. All these different sexual diseases all have to do with our bodies breaking down and we're getting attacked. Same thing with diseases in the plants and the soil, because that's my goal, is to make everybody happy, right? The soil and the plants and the trees and the people. And so it'd be great to get enough people. And what I like to do is somehow figure out a way where I can get, say, maybe 5 people who I call them doctors, but I don't know if you all are doctors. Are you all doctors?
Yes. What you would, the type of degrees you'll find in these functional medicine practitioners, there will be MDs. They have to take extra training. It's on their own dime. It's not funded by pharmaceutical companies. It's DOs. Same thing.
Oh, is that what,
they're not going to.
Is that what MD means? My dime.
There you go. Well, usually the functional medicine means that it was on their dime, because these things aren't taught in medical schools.
No,
so they
not.
Have to learn them on their own. And it's really frowned upon in the medical industry to use supplements. So you've got to go to extra training. So these folks can be MDs, DOs, chiropractors that have extra training, CCNs. I'm a certified clinical nutritionist. And I'm a traditional naturopath. So a naturopathic doctor is going to you know, it's an umbrella for, you know, looking at herbs and homeopathics and being able to do different functional tests.
Let me ask you another question, because I'm totally with you on all these things. I think it's about time maybe we got a bunch of people in these fields together. But I also want to, again, relate it to the garden. Like, you garden, right? So in your gardening world, do you apply these same things to the garden that you're teaching the people for the body?
Yes, and I have taken over a ranch from my father, who passed away, and there was some history of some glyphosate. So I'm reconditioning the soil.
Uh-huh.
I've got some probiotics, soil probiotics, that I'm spraying on it, as well as, you know, some fertilizing that's going to put back more than just the NKP. So
what type of fertilizer? You can tell
it's
me.
It's a fish-based fertilizer.
Listen, great. Listen, I would love to know more about your property and what you're doing, because, see, I'm the expert in this field, and I'm happy to really guide you through how to do that, how to really bring that soil back to life. And you can guide me and everybody else how to bring our bodies back to life, because the two are very identical. There's a reason why you're on here too, because, you know, your property is going to mirror you. And so I'm happy to help you to, where is it, Arizona, right?
No, I'm up in the mountains in Idaho. So
cool.
You know, growing seasons are short here, so we've got to get real creative on how to, I have to start things, you know, with a grow light indoors, just
cool.
So I can have enough time they don't freeze in the fall.
Yeah, exactly right, because I'm a Boulder, Colorado boy myself, and I've done things like having, I've grown tomatoes year-round, if you know how to do it, and vegetables year-round. Snowing outside, but I got nice and comfy. I did a giant greenhouse around the pool, and I built a greenhouse next to the house, so the house gets to heat the greenhouse, and lots of interesting, you know, raise. I did, naturally heated the greenhouse, because you can heat the greenhouse by running water through it. You have a pipe, a copper line basically ran through the floor, so the water ran through it. It warmed up the house, really, the greenhouse, really nice. But I'm happy really to help you in that area, because it's the same thing that we're talking about. How do we bring things back to life so that makes it healthier, you know, what you can grow?
Yes, I would appreciate that, because I think it's our responsibility, just like it's our responsibility to take control of our health, not to leave it up to other people to fund it or to give us, you know, their recommendation. We have to educate ourselves, make informed decisions, and be able to put the effort into it that it'll take. You know, growing a garden is hard work.
I think of it as fun work, you know. You have to think of it as fun, because with it's hard work. You go, oh, God, I have to go work in the garden. No, make me know, you know.
Well, and that's it. It's what mental attitude are you taking, you know, when you look at it? Because to me, it's life, you know, and it's necessary. Well, I feel better when I do it.
It law of attraction. It's a law of attraction.
Yes, so, and I try to help people look at their diet the same way. They look at it as drudgery, whereas if they see that it's their vitality that they're restoring, and they have to learn to love vegetables and learn to love, you know, variety, you know, it's
right. That's why gardening is so good. That's why gardening is so good, because people, if they get into gardening, they tend to slow down. They appreciate what they get, and it overflows into your life. So if you're growing a vegetable, you can't eat it right away. It has to be picked at the right time. There's so many laws to this whole thing that you have to follow. And it's the same thing with the body. And once you start to realize that, my body is everything, because I can't, you know, I'm not going to live forever, but I certainly should enjoy what I have now. And, you know, with cigarettes and these toxins everywhere, personally myself, I would like to live on a tropical island and say, fine, bye-bye, everybody, you know, because it's, the other source would be just to get on the giant spaceship and just stay up there, like that scientist says, we have to just get off the planet. We made it so toxic now. Personally, I tell people, look, if a giant spaceship was to come here and take all human beings off the planet, the Earth would be fine, but it'll take a while for it to clean up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know? Listen, we have here, we have a little bit more time. We have one, there's two questions wrapped up in one. I'm just going to take two questions and basically one, how we protect the human biome and how we protect the Earth's biome. It's the same way. What's your opinion on that?
Well, and some of them we've already touched on. You have to really make a conscious choice, you know, in your diet. You have to educate yourself about GMOs and organic and spore-based probiotics and, you know, how to eat so that it feeds your microbiome. So, you know, there is a self-education and really just caring enough to make that decision and educating your children. On the earth biome side, as we were talking about before, too, we can't just use the conventional methods. We have to educate ourselves about how to recondition the soil, you know, how to rotate different, you know, plants in order to feed the soil again and use natural fertilizers. So a lot of it is just putting the responsibility back on the folks and finding people who can give you good advice. You know, if you care enough to look at, well, where did you get your education? And I'll tell you that most of the passionate people in this industry, they didn't do this by choice. A lot of times they were the doctors that their health got involved or the health of their children, and they found out conventional medicine didn't do it for them. And so they were driven to go to find the answers. And that's what these group of people are. They're driven because of a personal involvement, and they have the compassion to make a change. And they attract those patients or those gardeners that are also passionate enough to be the ones who will make the change.
So I got it down to a really, like I said, law of attraction. That's the key right there. So if you, when I go in a garden, I automatically envision a beautiful, healthy garden. The soil says hello to me. All the insects say, hi, how you doing? The trees, the plants, everybody's singing and humming, and everybody's, the energy's so high, there's light everywhere. That's what I see happening. I see that happening in myself. I see that happening in other people on the planet. And you have to, we have to attract rather than, you know, because people, if they start seeing fear and hate and anger, that's what they're going to attract, or diseases and pests. And so education is a really a big thing, because we're being bombarded with so many things that are not real, that not the truth. And you, if you believe that, then you attract that.
Right. Think about this, Andy. Our bodies have 10 trillion cells in it, right?
The
microbiome in our gut and on our skin and throughout our body are 100 trillion cells. There's more of these organisms that are in us and on us than us ourselves.
Yeah.
So part of this, what you're talking about, the resonance that you're talking about is, you know, do you really love your microbiome? Do you really care about them?
Yeah.
Because you know what? They know. And you want them working with you, not against you.
Yeah.
Because there are more of them than there are of you.
That's why I started doing the inner gardening music. So basically, I started playing music to all these, I call them beings. Basically, they are beings, regardless of size, you know, because you have giant beings and small beings. And, you know, I worked a lot with, I'm actually an ordained minister, and I started working with people and their natural, and the trees and natural spirits. They're all beings, and that's important to me. And I started playing the music, and the music basically makes them, gives them harmony, you know, the sound vibrates for them and they feel wonderful, and then releases the stress. And that's the whole part of it, is releasing the stress. But I think that we're going, you know, right now we're in the time of change. We're going from the Piscean age through the Aquarian age, and the fishes in water have to learn to swim in the air. So yeah, we're going through some major changes here. And so we have to really pay attention to what works for us, what's been working for us. And that basically is these little microorganisms, little creatures, both in the soil and in our bodies. You know, they'll probably, you know, us as human beings may not be around, but they will be around. you know. And so I want to take advantage of their of using them right now and enjoying it, because that's really the way to go. Is that, and we're being told, you know, you have to get a flu shot 10 times a month, a year, or whatever. You have to take this shot and that shot and this shot and that shot and this shot, and you have to. And so far from the truth as to, in my opinion, you know, how we deal, because the same thing with the trees and plants. They keep saying you got to spray on a regular basis with this. Use the Roundup on this I'm going, you two have something together, right? You two must be bought by the same company, right? Because you have the same philosophy and you practice and you teach people the same thing over and over again. And it doesn't help. It's not helping in the sense of health. I mean, health is, I mean, a doctor should say, you know, the main objective is that person to be healthy. And if you never come back again because they're totally healthy, that's fine. I don't want to say anything against doctors, but it feels like they just want you to keep coming back for more.
Well, unfortunately, really good doctors are leaving the profession. You know, most of them start out with the altruistic feelings. They are in there to help people, but they get jaded by the system, and many of them are really frustrated. So the good ones will look at functional medicine and say, you know, what I've been doing is not working. I'm going to find another way. Others that don't have the answer, they hate their work.
You know what? They become good farmers.
Arden Arneson is a perfect example.
I was going to mention him. And he's a friend of mine, right? He was a doctor who took up farming so he can figure out how the body works, took it back to the body and go, whoa, if you see him say Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener, once in my show, he's just not answering me.
he's extremely, you know, you got to be careful. The good doctors are being hunted. And you probably heard how many have been committing suicides by two shots in the back of their head. And that's a reality. And you've got to be careful. And hence, you know, I'm in a remote location because there's enough alphabet soup agencies out there that don't like people that make positive change.
Yeah, same thing with me. What do you think I've been doing for years, telling people you want to use these chemicals, you want to use pesticides, you want to use these stuff seriously? And they just call me the crazy guy. And I go, thank you. But doesn't mean, you know, I have this one saying, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with facts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And I get it. These people will attack you because that's their way of life, and they don't care. They do pay people, you know, to go after you, to harass you on Facebook, to say if you say it's blue, they're going to say it's green. But if you follow up who they are, you'll see that they're being paid by the people, like the sugar people. You know, they're fighting with the everybody else. You know, they want more sugar in your product. And you know, it's a drug. You take sugar, you want more sugar. You know,
exactly. Right. And it's the reality. Unfortunately, those people that poo-poo that there's conspiracy going on, they need to wake up, because the reality is, you know, people are dying.
Yeah, and it's getting worse now because of our particular political situation. The people that are in power don't necessarily believe in the climate change, let alone believe in the word organic. They want to ruin that so you can't be. I tell people, buy organic certified. At least you understand what's going on there. And educate yourself, because you really, really need to know what's true and what's not true, because you're being led down a path thinking this is good for you, and then you're the guinea pig. It's 2:00, so time to go. Thank you.
Right. And you know, the lemmings of the society, they just want to pay their copay, and they want, you know, to take a pill and solve all their problems, and you know, and they want to, you know, buy their conventional, you know.
Bye.
So,
we gotta go. Okay. Bye. Time to go.
Bye, Andy. Bye. Take care. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye. All right, everybody, listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host, Andy Lopez. Bye. Oh, 2 minutes left? Seriously?
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.